Good morning. It is Sunday, April the 14th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, this past Thursday, you were slated to have actually quite a busy day, but in the case of at least one meeting, you got, well, the only way to put it is outranked.
That's right. I had a meeting scheduled with the Division 14 NCDOT highway engineer and the head traffic engineer for the whole state of North Carolina. On Wednesday afternoon, Brian Burtz, the engineer, said, "I'm sorry, Mayor, but we're not coming because I have to meet with the governor of North Carolina in Hayesville on that day, and it's a mandatory appearance." So, yes, I was preempted, I guess you might say, and we'll be rescheduling that meeting as soon as possible.
Well, on Thursday in the evening, you attended a banquet that was part of BizWeek here in the county, and that honored a couple of local businesses.
That's right. The economic development folks, under the leadership of Tommy Jenkins, every year has a business week where they have workshops and programs to promote businesses in Macon County. The big finale is the annual banquet every Thursday evening of this week, and I had an opportunity to travel down to Franklin to attend that important event. Each year they recognize businesses of merit and businesses that have achieved, if you will, fame here in Macon County for promoting, you know, our economy and, and hiring people and so forth. This year, the Ugly Dog, under the leadership of Thomas and Kay Craig, they were cited as one of those businesses, and I was, you know, very delighted to be there to see Thomas and Kay receive that recognition. And then also they have a category which is a very special category. It's called an up-and-coming business, a business that has been in Macon County for less than 10 years, and they recognize a business that has had a real economic impact in the county. And this year they recognize the Highlands Zip Line and Adventures for their impact here in Macon County. It was really wonderful to see that business that was founded by George Powell and Karen Powell to be given that honor. People probably don't realize this, but they have 43 acres in this adventure park, which you do have zip lining, but also there are other activities, hikes and nature trails for young children and so forth. So it's very impressive what they've accomplished. And, you know, I think they've been in business now for 4 years. Mm-hmm. They hire many people in this area. And also, I think I recall that they have like 12,000 visitors each year to the zip line an adventure park. And the other thing that is very important is when you have vibrant businesses like that in the community, people come, they visit, not only do they spend money at that business, but then they go to restaurants, to hotels, shops, and so forth. So it's a win-win for everybody that's a part of the economy in Macon County.
Mr. Mayor, before that Thursday evening event, you had a bit of town business to deal with in the form of the first budget meeting, where you and the rest of the town commissioners and town staff sat down to look at priorities. And I understand one of the things that you had to do was deal with, well, kind of a cash injection to the budget in the form of a grant from the state.
That's correct. Normally, we don't actually take formal votes. This is just kind of a workshop planning session where we look at priorities and make, you know, recommendations to the staff about what we think can be funded for the forthcoming budget. But at this meeting, we had to do a budget amendment because we have received a grant from the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality. And the grant that we received is entitled a North Carolina Division of Water Quality Infrastructure Asset Inventory and Assessment Grant.
That's mouthful.
A mouthful. Yeah. It's basically a $150,000 grant, which will enable experts in the field of water quality and water departments to come in and do a study of the assets that we have in our water system, and also work with our staff in planning future needs and how we upgrade and assure, you know, water quality in our department. We had to do a matching grant of $32,000 to qualify for this grant that we've been trying to get now for several years, and this was the year we were awarded the grant. So we had to do the budget amendment of $32,000, which will enable this grant now to move forward. And now later on in the year, in the new budget year, the folks from the water quality area will be coming to Highlands and working with our staff and going through this asset inventory. Connected with that, and I asked the question of Lamar Nix, our public works director, is the fact that we have been working for a number of years now using ground radar to try to identify all the water lines that we have in our system. Mm-hmm. Now, I know people would say, why hasn't this ever been done? Our water system goes all the way back to 1929 when it was first built. And back during those days, some of the folks that were doing it, they'd say, well, I know where the water lines are, so that's no problem. Mm-hmm. Those folks have long since passed away or retired. And with that, there was no real systematic mapping to make sure we knew where the water lines were. Right now, our mapping department mm-hmm. has been involved in going back and trying to identify those hidden lines using ground radar. Carlton Wheatley is in that department, and he's really done a lot of work to identify those lines, which will really be a help for the folks administering this grant program, because they'll be able to have a better picture of what our water network is. And they can also assist Carlton in finishing his project and making sure that everything, every asset, if you will, that we have in that system is identified, and also not only identified, but where there might be lines that need to be replaced because they're not large enough or for the future and so forth. This whole program will help us develop a plan to correct those situations.
Mr. Mayor, I saw in the paper the other day that the Jackson County staff, they've changed their health care provider. And I know it wasn't too long ago that the town of Highlands changed to a different health care provider. In your budget planning, has that affected anything?
Actually, like many municipalities throughout the country, providing health care has been a real challenge in the last few years, because so often premiums just skyrocket and go mm-hmm. up. For example, about 3 years ago now, we were with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they tended to give us a quote on how much we were going to have to pay for employee health coverage right at the end of our budget planning in May. And 1 year they came in and said, well, you're going to have to pay $200,000 more in premiums. So that really messed up our whole budget planning when we had to meet that new increase. This year we went with a program that is supported by the League of Municipalities. And the good news is that they've notified us that we'll have no premium increase this coming year, which is good in two ways. First of all, we don't have to pay more money for this insurance. And then also we know now what they're willing to do in this area, so we can start planning our budget. Although we still are asking for bids with other providers to see if we can get a better deal. But it looks very good that we will have a very stable insurance situation for the coming budget year. I wanted to say one other thing. Several months ago, we had a representative from the North Carolina Investment Trust Fund come and talk to us about going with them in investing our reserve funds and our scholarship, you know, principal and so forth. Mm-hmm. Because to be quite frank, we had those funds invested in short-term saving accounts mm-hmm. in various banks and so forth. So the decision was to go with this very sound state fund program that would index the return on the interest based on the economy and so forth. So we've done that. And Josh Ward reported that basically we've doubled the interest that we were receiving on those funds already just in the last few months, because as the representatives said, as the prime rate and everything goes up or interest rates go up, you will be indexed and your funds will be adjusted also. So it's a good use of our, you know, taxpayer money to always be tracking and see what is the best return on investment on those kind of situations.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of use of taxpayer money, I know in your budget meeting there were a lot of capital needs looked at. Can you go through some of those that are likely to be part of the budget?
Yes, I will. You know, one of the things we've all been talking about has been our situation with our roads. And our road department has four projects that they presented at the workshop on Thursday. And let me say that sometimes when we're looking at this list, we have things in black, and that means that probably they will be funded. And then we have things that are printed in red. That means that if it gets very tight with budget decisions, that would be an item that we could possibly cut for this year and just postpone for the next year. So let me go over the four street projects, two of which are in red, two of which are in black. For example, the Colasadia Road project will be done this year for $102,000. It's connected to the water tank construction up on Satula. Mm-hmm. We've been planning on paving Satula Road, but we wanted to delay until the water tank was completed. Right now, the water tank, all the foundation work is coming to completion, and the company that actually builds the water tank will be arriving in a couple of weeks, and it will take them about 10 weeks to actually build the water tank on site. Then after that, we have to put in some pump systems and so forth. So it will take several more months for us to complete that project. But going into the next budget year, once that project is completely done and we don't have any heavy equipment going back and forth, then we'll go back and pave the Tula. The other road that we have to pave is Colasadia Drive. That's 1.1 miles from Highway 64. And that's going to cost $215,000. Josh Ward and I, Josh, our town manager, we rode down that road just a few weeks ago, and we realized from the hard winter that we had, especially with the rain, there are parts of Colasadia that no longer exist in the form of paved road. It's just, you know, gravel and washout. Mm-hmm. So that's a priority. We've got to pave that one. And then we have Oak Lane for $59,000. That is a red line project. And then Hickory Hill Road, again, it needs to be paved. It's not as bad as the part we're talking about with Colasadia, but it also needs to be paved, and it's $244,000. So those are our main road projects that we will be considering for this budget year. Also, we do things like sidewalk repairs. We have $30,000 in the budget for going back and just making sure if any places on our sidewalk areas have broken down, we'll replace those areas. So that's our road projects that we are identifying.
What about some of the things you'd mentioned, of course, that grant about the water quality? What about some of our water equipment, our water lines?
That is a big area of the budget for this year, and these are all in black. It looks like they will be funded. One would be the Buckhorn Water Tank Pump Station. That's going to be about $600,000. It's kind of a complicated thing. We'll be carrying over money that we've already appropriated into this next budget, and it's going to be about to finish that project into the, you know, next coming year, somewhere around $600,000, but we're not exactly sure yet, because when you're doing construction, you never know what problems you might incur in time delays and so forth. But we think we can get this done very quickly. The other thing is the split rail water line improvements. We need to replace that 2-inch water line, the old galvanized line, with a 6-inch ductile iron system with fire hydrants and so forth. That's going to cost $876,000. It's about 3,000 feet of new water line to that area that is needed, and something that we really can't delay. We've been postponing it. The situation continues to you know, become a problematic situation. We want to make sure everybody has water in that neighborhood. So we will more than likely fund that for this coming year. And then we have the other issue with our water treatment plant, and we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. and that is the problems with our filters that have been breaking down. We had one that we had to shut down just recently mm-hmm. and had to spend about $160,000 immediately to start repairing that filter. It's the grid system and everything made out of plastic has not lasted as long as we thought it would. And we have the second filter that is functioning fine at this point, mm-hmm. but it's made out of plastic also, so we know that sometime next year we need to take it off of line and spend about $200,000 in making repairs on that system. And then down the line, we probably need to build another filter and have three, and that would be about $1 million expenditure, not for this year, but in the coming budgets. So that is our water situation. And like I say, none of that has a red line to it. Those are kind of mandatory. We've got to act on those kind of issues. And then in our electric department this year, and I'm not an electrical engineer, so I hope I get this right, we need to reconduct or create reconductors for certain portions of our network. One is right out here on 64 near Little Bear Pen. And I've had this explained to me that some of our lines are old and they don't carry the load as efficiently as they should. And in real high peak areas, some of them could fail. And Lamar Nix, our town engineer, says we need to be proactive and start replacing some of those older inadequate lines. And that is one that we'll be doing this year on 64. And then going down to Horse Cove, where we provide electrical service, there's another section that needs to be replaced or reconducted, I guess you would say. And that's going to cost $91,000. That is a red line item, because if we can't get to it this year, we can address that issue in the next budget. It's not a matter of we know that these lines are going to fail. It's that if we had real heavy loads, that is a possibility. So we're just trying to be proactive in maintaining that network.
Mr. Mayor, I know your budget planning will continue throughout the spring, but do you have a feeling for what the capital projects are going to total up to for the upcoming budget?
Well, Chris, I'm glad you asked that question, because we do have a preliminary number. Right now, we're looking at about $3,428,000 in capital needs. So as we go through this planning process, we'll need to look at that number and see how it fits in with the budget, with, you know, tax revenues coming in, the overall, you know, funds for the town. We'll have to look at that number. There might be some more things that pop up in the next meeting to even increase that number, and the board will then have to decide, do we want to fully fund all of those projects for $3.4 million, or do we need to kind of cut back and postpone some of the capital project? You know, my personal feeling is that if we can fund all of these projects this year, I'd like to see that happen. You know, the economy's good, revenues seem to be, you know, very strong, our reserves are very strong. But then, you know, the board has to be financially responsible, and we have to plan ahead. So the outcome will be determined when we actually approve the budget in June.
And we will keep our listeners apprised of how that process goes through June. And on that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.